Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to The Other Connor Podcast, a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Here's your host, Connor Halley.
Hello, Oilers fans. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Other Connor Podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Connor Halley. Make sure to give me a follow on Twitter at Connor Halley. And for the Edmonton Oilers, Game 1 problems. We'll talk about that on the show today. We've got a very good lineup for you. We're going to talk to Zach Lang of Oilers Nation and Daily Faceoff. You can give him a follow on Twitter at ZJLang, and I highly recommend you do so. Great content with Zach. We'll talk about all things Edmonton Oilers and how do they get back into the series after trailing one game to none. We're also going to talk to Hernan Salas. For those of you who big fans of TSN 1260 or have even listened to this podcast before, maybe listened to his old podcast, Locked on Oilers. Hernan is a huge Oilers fan, and despite no longer working in the media industry, he still follows the team as a fan. So we want to get Hernan on, and he's downtown. He lives downtown. He gets to see the noise or hear the noise and see the atmosphere, all that. So we're going to talk to Hernan about just the Edmonton Oilers and how fun it's been for him to go back and be a fan and not be a member of the media. Of course, now he's doing media coordinations with the Edmonton Elks, and we also want to talk to Hernan about those Elks, because on Friday night, they're having a Stand With Ukraine night, where ticket sales are going to go to help Ukraine. They're only $15, so if you want to go sit outside on a Friday night, it doesn't conflict with the Oilers, enjoy some beautiful weather, watch some football, maybe have a couple bevies, some good food, you can do that. We'll talk to Hernan Salas about that later on in the show. Very quickly, I want to thank our sponsor, DraftKings. If you're looking to have a little bit of fun with some daily fantasy sports, check out DraftKings. Use promo code THPN. You've got the NHL playoffs. You've got the NBA finals. Major League Baseball's in full swing. Golf, MMA, the NFL will be back before we know it. Lots of fun with DraftKings. Sign up today. Use promo code THPN. Like I said, I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in the podcast. But let's talk a little bit about the Oilers. Since the last time we spoke, they knocked off the Calgary Flames in the BOA second round. Connor McDavid with the overtime winner. I think that that's going to be a memory for a lot of us that we'll never forget. If you're around my age range, I'm 35, born in 87. I never really got a chance to check out the Battle of Alberta back in the glory days. So this was the first opportunity for me to watch. And as excited as I was, there was a little bit of me that thought, you know, if the Oilers lose, the Flames fans have something to hold over your head. And we've all got friends from Calgary. We've all got friends who root on the Flames. And, you know, you just don't want to lose the BOA. So for everyone out there, I'm extremely happy that the Oilers found a way to get it done. The way they got it done was extremely encouraging. Obviously, they lost the first game in pretty bad fashion, despite making it close. And after that, though, the Oilers, they found a way to bounce back. They played really strong defensive hockey. They shut down the Calgary Flames' big players. Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau were pretty much invisible in games 2, 3, 4, and 5. And now for the Edmonton Oilers, I think they've got to build off that. For those who somehow missed it, the Oilers fell to the Avalanche in Game 1 of the Western Conference Final on a Tuesday night, 8-6, and kind of similar, you know, bad defensively. Obviously, there were some circumstances that went against the Oilers, but, you know, I think hearing the media ask questions to the Oilers after the game, hearing, like, you know, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, Mike Smith, and Coach Woodcroft, there wasn't a whole lot of panic, and I think even Mike Smith was cracking jokes. Like he said, yeah, I guess we just don't like games won. So I think that this team has shown how resilient they can be, you know, even despite falling down in the game last night, or Tuesday night, I guess if you're listening on Thursday. I mean, the Oilers did rattle off three straight goals and made it a one-goal game. McDavid, Derek Ryan, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins all scoring goals before Gabriel Landeskog would put the nail in the coffin for game one, but I think there's a lot of reason to believe that the Oilers can find a way to get back into this series. Obviously, there's things you just can't do. I mean, you got to watch out for Nathan MacKinnon when he's flying down the middle of the ice full speed. Tough one there. The Kale McCarr goal. I still don't like the rule, and I get how by the rule of the law, the NHL did make the right call, but to me, Kale McCarr, despite not physically touching the puck, he still had control. So I don't know. I think maybe we need a little bit of a refresher on that rule. But the one thing you did learn from that goal is Kale McCarr is one hell of a hockey player. And if he crosses that blue line, you can't give him that shot. He's too good. I get there's that fear that, you know, he could walk right around you, but that was a real tough one. Jay Woodcroft did challenge. Obviously didn't get the challenge call correct. And 32 seconds into the second period, Nazem Kadri scores his sixth goal of the playoffs. The Oilers would respond. Ryan McLeod scoring a goal, but, you know, under 2 minutes later, Mikko Rantanen scores for the Avalanche. Like, it seemed, you know, whenever the Oilers got a little bit of momentum, the Colorado Avalanche did a very good job of finding ways to get it back. So, I mean, there are some negatives that came out of this game, but there's also some positives. If you're an Oilers fan, I think you can look at this game and say that despite the 8-6 loss, two goals were kind of meh, and there's things you can clean up. And, you know, you still found a way to put sixth past the Colorado Avalanche goaltenders. And, you know, there are some issues there with Colorado with their goaltenders going forward. We're not too sure about Darcy Kemper. Obviously, he left the game with the eye injury, something that he might have had suffered earlier on in the year. Something might have rattled it. We'll see if he's good to go on Thursday. But on the flip side, I think the Colorado Avalanche would probably say the same thing. You know, goaltending wasn't that strong. Maybe they don't like the power plays that they gave the Edmonton Oilers. So both sides, I think, probably want to clean things up. That's obvious when there's an 8-6 game, but we're going to break that down with our guests. We'll start it off with Zach Lang, and then we'll get to Hernan Salas later on. But like I said, let's kick it off. Zach Lang, Oilers Nation, Daily Faceoff, Blue Jays Nation. You can give him a follow on Twitter at ZJLang. I highly recommend you do so. Zach, thank you so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, thank you. It's, you know, just try to rest and recover after a hectic game one and get ready for game two tomorrow.
Well, I scroll through your Twitter feed today and I see you're also fueled by the McDonald's Dollar Dazed iced coffee. I'm right there with you. Definitely needed one after last night. I mean, there's lots to get to, but let me just start off with this one. One game down, Oilers, some similarities to the game one against the Calgary Flames. Just how are you feeling today? I mean, what's the confidence level like for the Oilers in this series against the Avalanche?
You know, Connor, I think the confidence level has to stay high. I'm really not worried right now. I'm not. You look at the way the Oilers responded against LA and against Calgary, as you mentioned. The Oilers played some really tough in games 2-7 against LA and 2-5 against Calgary. So, you know, the way I've kind of looked at it coming into this round, it's gravy, so to speak, in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think there was a lot of people who expected the Oilers to go on such a run this year. And I think just the fact that they're playing here in the Conference Finals is just such a great experience for so many of these players on the team. I think it's going to pay off dividends down the road. I still feel confident in the Oilers team against Colorado, though. I think the matchup is really good. And as Jim Woodcroft said four times in his post-game presser last night, you know, the Oilers took six goals past both Darcy Kemper and Pavel Francouz last night. So there's obviously things that the Oilers can feel good about in their game, but it's going to be clear that they've got to address the defensive woes that they had in game one against Colorado, much like they did against Calgary.
Zach, as we're talking, I just heard a three-run shot by the Blue Jays taking on the White Sox right now. Hope I'm not a spoiler alert for you or anything like that, but I just had to drop that in there. Danny Jansen, a little shot there. Is a new Jays fan for you. I'm sure you're happy to hear that. Let's get back to the Oilers, though. Sorry, my fandom took over right there. Now, you talk about that. Like, it is all gravy from here on. And the whole season, I looked at this Oilers team and I thought, you know, if they don't win a playoff series, it's a failure. The top to bottom, you know, big picture, it's not a good thing. It doesn't matter about small victories here and there. It's not going to be a good thing. And you know, game seven against the Kings, they were facing it. And then, you know, they pick up the win. They get the win against Chicago, or against Calgary, which is awesome. And, you know, for the first time in my life and your life and a bunch of people's lives, they got a chance to see the BOA and what it's all about. I think a lot of us thought it'd probably go longer than five games. But, you know, for the Oilers fans listening, you're probably pretty happy about it. And, you know, now we going into Colorado, I think a lot of fans would say, you know, whatever happens, it's been a good year. And, you know, like you said, the experience that some of the younger guys are getting from this and, you know, getting a chance to be on hockey's almost main stage. It's the only game every night now going forward because, you know, you're alternating with the Eastern Conference. But it has been quite the experience so far. Now, when you look at Oilers lineup and going into game number two, we had Ryan Rashog on with Jason Greger today, and he talked about potentially splitting up McDavid, Dreisaitl, potentially replacing Darnell Nurse on the top pairing with Brett Kulak just because of the injury. Going into game two on a Thursday, is there any lineup moves that you would make?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple of options the Oilers could go with. I'm not sure if I'm a huge fan of splitting up McDavid and Dreisaitl. You know, I've still got some question marks about whether or not Dreisaitl can really drive his own line right now in these playoffs. I think he struggled to do so against LA a little bit. And you look at the way that Dreisaitl's played with McDavid late in that LA series and into Calgary. I really like that pairing of those two there. You know, you can look at the Oilers' fourth line and maybe mix things up there a little bit as well. You know, granted, they were able to score, you know, their first goal of the playoffs last night in game one. But at the same breath, they've also been on the ice for six goals against. And that's been really tough for that Oilers' fourth line, considering they really don't play a lot of minutes. You know, maybe a guy like Devin Shore could be brought in to replace Josh Archibald. They play a pretty similar game, and Shore's numbers under Jay Woodcroft have been pretty solid. Of course, you also have the option of going with Dylan Holloway, and I would be a big proponent of doing that as well. I think Holloway is ready for the NHL game and ready to take on, you know, some NHL minutes here at, you know, 5 or 6 minutes a night on that fourth line wouldn't hurt. Of course, you look at the back end too, and Brett Kulak has been such a great addition for this Oilers team. I mentioned it on Twitter last week, but I think he's been equally as important of an addition as Evander Kane was, when they were able to bring him in earlier this year. You know, I maybe like to see Kulak and Barry get some more minutes. I thought they had a pretty strong game in game one. And Darnell Nurse is a guy who's clearly hurting right now. You know, it's been reported he's got a core muscle injury, and that's something that I think is really ailing him right now. He really struggled to keep up with the speed of Colorado last night. So, you know, maybe taking a few minutes off of his game would be beneficial.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, it's a really good point. Like, Darnell Nurse is clearly hampered by injury, and when you're the top pairing, especially going up against Colorado's top line, like, they're just going to exploit you. It doesn't look like he can turn and go like he once could, and if it is the abdominal issue, that would totally make a lot of sense. And I like what you said there about potentially looking at Dylan Holloway, because I know some people say, you know, you don't want to put him out there, but I mean, geez, you want to put him in a situation where the blood's pumping and he's ready to go? Why not throw him out there in a Western Conference semifinal? I mean, he's played at high level, played, you know, at the best collegiate level you can, went to the playoffs, played at the World Juniors where it's pretty intense. And I know the NHL's an absolute other animal, but he's shown at the AHL level that he can play a certain role and do a certain job. And replacing Josh Archibald, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. Like, I would love to see it. Archibald, the last few games, like, he hasn't played double-digit minutes since May 14th. That's Game 7 against the LA Kings. Like, against the Flames, he was 8 minutes, 4 minutes, 7, 6, 4. And then last night against the Avalanche, 8 minutes. Like, I think the opportunity to put in Dylan Holloway is there. And then even just when he gets those opportunities, if he gets those opportunities, the scoring upside. I mean, it just seems like it's something that you could definitely try to go with there. And even if it is Devin Shore, I mean, I haven't been a huge fan of Josh Archibald as of late. You know, I know he injects that little energy and he can throw hits, but at what cost and what has it really brought them, right? So I would be intrigued to see if Jay Woodcroft makes any moves. He was on the show with Greger a while ago and, you know, talked about how much he does trust Dylan Holloway. So that would be interesting. I'd like to see that. Just sticking with Jay Woodcroft, speaking to the media today, he did say that he's not going to announce his starter. I think we would all assume Mike Smith will get the nod to try and bounce back like he did in the series against the Calgary Flames. But is there any way in your mind that Mikko Koskinen would get the start over Smith in game two?
I can definitely see a scenario where it happens, Connor. I mean, Mikko Koskinen came in last night. He looked really good. Like, I actually thought he came in and played quite well for the Oilers. You know, he stopped 20 of the 21 shots he faced. It's good enough for a .952 save percentage. Something was clearly working for him, and he made a couple of pretty big stops as well. You know, it's difficult because if you decide to go to Koskinen, could you actually go back to Smith at another point in this series and feel confident in that? What kind of a message would that send to a guy like Smith as well, who, you know, the team has put a lot into over the last couple of years and has consistently trusted him in these high level situations? I still think you go back to Smith based off the fact that, you know, in game one's all playoffs long, he's got like an .814 save percentage. And in the rest of them, he's got like a .950 or something in that area. The splits are kind of wild to look at. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you go back to Smith here and hope he can battle back and win the Oilers a couple of games in this series.
Now, Zach, you always do a really good job post-game. I mean, on social media, I think you're a must-follow for Oilers fans. You've got the goals, and you do it at a really nice quality level. For me, I just use my phone and a free app that I found, and people always make fun of me because it's got a blue hue to it. So I'm trying to do less and just direct people in your direction. Post-game interviews, you always do a really good job of kind of transcribing, you know, players' comments, coach comments, things like that. So obviously you watch them. I was a part of the post-game show last night on TSN 1260, so I got a chance to listen to the post-game comments, and I got a sense from the guys that spoke, Nurse, McDavid, Drysdale, Smith, and of course Coach Jay Woodcroft, that there wasn't a lot of panic with this group. Like, they can almost look back at that series against the Flames and say, hey, and you know, even looking at this game, they had that call that didn't go their way that, you know, a lot of us probably disagreed with. And then, you know, you have the penalty that comes right after due to the challenge that the Avalanche capitalized on. Like, I didn't see a whole lot of panic from this group, and I think that's a really good sign. Did you kind of get that sense as well?
Yeah, absolutely. They really seemed confident in themselves and their game. You know, it was sort of one of those situations where it's like, yeah, we've been here before. Unfortunately, we couldn't come up with the start in game one that we wanted. I mean, they did go up 1-0 in the game, which was great, but it unraveled so quickly in that first period. But they seem to have that sort of bravado that you need to have at this point in the season of like, hey, you know what? We're in the Western Conference Finals right now. You know, we're one of the top four teams in the entire NHL this season. That's something to feel good about. That's something that they can really carry into, you know, games 2, 3, 4, et cetera, the rest of the series. I have all the confidence in the world in this team that they're going to be able to bounce back. And I wrote about that a couple of days ago at OilersNation.com, where you look at this team and it just feels different right now. This playoffs feels different. It's a different team. It's a different attitude. It's a different atmosphere that the Oilers have kind of brought forth this year under Jay Woodcroft. You know, if you would have told me when the Oilers hired Jay Woodcroft that they'd be in the Western Conference Finals right now, playing the type of hockey that they have, overcoming what they have in these playoffs, I wouldn't believe you. I wouldn't believe that that team could have beat the Calgary Flames in 5 games. I think the Oilers can play with anybody in this league, and I really think they can play with Colorado. And the players seem to feel that way as well. So I think there's a lot of confidence oozing from them right now, and I think they'll carry it into what I expect to be a win in Game 2.
Zach Lang from Oilers Nation joining me here on the Other Connor podcast. Give him a follow on Twitter at ZJ Lang. Like I said, does really good stuff throughout the Oilers games and on the off games. And if you're a Jays fan as well, lots of good content there. Zach, I guess going into game two, you're confident. I think a lot of fans are confident. The Oilers feel like they are confident. Why should they be? Like, what do you see from Colorado that you think that the Oilers can look at and say, you know, game one didn't go our way, but game two, we can probably exploit this?
You know what, Connor? I honestly don't think Colorado is as deep of a team as people say they are. I think the Oilers' top six matches up really well against Colorado's, and I think the Oilers' bottom six matches up really well as well. I really like the third line of Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and Jesse Puljujärvi. I think that's a trio the Oilers need to get out a lot more. They controlled like 80% of the expected goal share and scoring chances last night. That's a really, really high number against what people say, you know, it was a cup favorite team in Colorado. And especially on the back end too, there's nothing beyond their first pairing of Taves and Makar that really scares me. you know, I think the Oilers did a good job of exploiting Josh Manson. I think he's a player who's overrated on that back end, you know, and they're still reeling having lost Samuel Girard too. Like, he was a guy who played massive minutes for them on their back end. So, you know, I think the Oilers have the ability to put goals up against them. I mean, again, I'll go back to what Woodcroft said four times last night. You know, the Oilers put up six against a good Colorado team that was top 10 in goals against in the league this year. So, you know, I think that they have the ability to come back and play, you know, their style of game and implement it on Colorado. That's something that they talk about a lot of. And I have all of the confidence in the world in Jay Woodcroft as the head coach of this club. I think he'll have the guys ready to go in what's going to be a massive game too.
Now, just one last question for you, Zach. I know you got to get running here. For the Colorado Avalanche, we know there's issues there with goaltending. Darcy Kuemper was strong down the stretch in the playoffs, maybe not as good as they would have hoped. Last night, he leaves the game, potentially an eye injury that might be flaring up. If he's unable to go in game, let's say 2, 3, 4, just how big of a loss is that for Colorado?
I think it's massive. I mean, you look last night, Pavel Francouz did not look very good. You know, he allowed 3 goals on 21 shots last night. He had an .857 save percentage. He's a guy who hasn't played. Like, granted, he had a really good regular season for them, but he's a guy who doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Not that Kuemper has a whole lot more, but I think the drop-off there is significant enough that the Oilers could exploit it. I don't know if Francouz looked ready whatsoever for what the Oilers were throwing his way last night. And hey, at the end of the day, you know, the Oilers managed to mount a pretty significant comeback in that game. You know, let's not forget that at one point they were down 7-3, and basically up until the final 40 seconds of the game, you know, the Oilers came back and were able to make it a 7-6 game. They made it close with Francouz in the net. So, you know, I think the advantage might shift a little bit towards the Oilers as a whole if Kemper's unable to go. And this is a time of year where, you know, injuries like that happen. And, you know, it's kind of ironic in a sense, too. You look at Colorado. You know, their first round matchup, UC Saros, went down for Nashville. They were forced to go to David Riddick. Of course, Colorado swept Nashville in 4 games. Second series, they were facing St. Louis, and Jordan Binnington came in and was playing great hockey. And then, of course, there's the collision with Nazem Kadri and the controversy that surrounded that one. And now, you know, Colorado may be getting a taste of their own medicine, so to speak, where, you know, now they're the team that has a goaltender who's going down with, you know, some type of injury that could really shift the way that they're able to perform in these playoffs. So, you know, if Colorado has to go to Francouz, I like the Oilers' odds to come back in this one.
Now, Zach, I'm just going to say we brought you in on Zoom midway through, and I just brought you up on the screen. Your background is the various Wendy's locations in Edmonton. You're going to Wendy's. What's the go-to meal?
Go-to meal for me, 2 JBCs. And 5 nuggets with honey mustard sauce. I like to keep it nice and simple when I go. Surprisingly filling sandwiches. The nuggets are nice and crispy. I may say they're better than McDonald's. Ooh. And I really like the honey mustard sauce that they have as well. So I'm a big Wendy's guy. And the reason I actually have all these Wendy's locations is because Toronto actually doesn't have a single Wendy's location. So I like to rub it in the face of Torontonians any chance I can get.
That is horrible. Question, do you ever get a pop at Wendy's? And are you always surprised by how big the cups are?
It scares me every time I order one.
I get a medium, I'm like, Jesus, what is this?
I know, it's like, wait a second, am I all of a sudden in the United States with the size of these cups, right? It's kind of wild. So, you know, even their smalls are almost like mediums or larges at other places. It always throws me for a bit of a loop.
Yeah, I love Wendy's. I once went there after a long day, tried to order a JBC, and I called it a Boonier Jakin cheeseburger. And since then, I'm just like, hey, just JBC. Don't be a hero, Connor. Just get it out. Zach, thanks a lot for doing this. Really appreciate it. People can check out your work up at Oilers Nation, Daily Faceoff, Blue Jays Nation. Anywhere else? Anything else you'd like to plug here?
No, that's about it. You can follow me at all those places on Twitter at ZJ Lang, and always do the clips and the quotes, as you mentioned. So if you need a quick replay, I'm the guy for it.
Beautiful. Zach, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate it. And hopefully the Oilers can keep this run going and we can get you back on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hockey fans, the pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537 in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, or Wyoming. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado or New Hampshire. You can visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. In Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. In Louisiana, 1-877-770-STOP. 877-8-HOPE-NY. In New York, in Oregon, you can visit opgr.org. In Tennessee, call the red line, 1-800-889-9789. And in Virginia, 1-888-532-3500, 21+, 18+, in Wyoming. Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming only. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. There you go. That is Zach Lang of Oilers Nation, Daily Faceoff, Blue Jays Nation. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter, at ZJLang. Like we said, during the game, he's got your goal replays. Post-game, he's got the transcribe going on for post-game comments. Lots of good content there. And always good stuff about Oilers Nation as well. Appreciate Zach hopping on the podcast. Right now, let's turn our attention to a guy you know and love, Hernan Salas, longtime co-worker of mine at TSN 1260, now working with the Edmonton Elks, and they got a really great thing going on down at Commonwealth Stadium on Friday night to help out with Ukraine. Of course, he's now just a fan of the Edmonton Oilers, so we had to bring Nanzo onto the show. Hernan, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you been, my friend?
Oh, you know what? We miss you here at TSN 1260, but I know you're thriving with the Elks. I mean, Jeff doesn't rip on me quite as often as you did, so I guess, you know, day to day, my spirits are probably a little bit higher, but glad you're able to do this. I know podcasting is something you had to step away from with the Elks. You're far too busy. I mean, and I want to ask you about that. We're going to talk about the Oilers because you're back to Hernan the fan, and I'm sure you're enjoying this playoff run. It's a whole lot of fun, but man, how are things going with the Elks? It's the dog days of training camp. Friday night, the team taking on the Calgary Stampeders. We're going to talk about that, but how's the transition gone, man? You went from our side to, I don't know, I don't want to call it the dark side. Maybe you went to the light side and we're the dark side. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going good, man. Like you said, it started off, you know, slow in April, and you know, just kind of getting my feet wet and all that, but it's really picked up since training camp. Loving it. Super duper busy, but when you're working for a pro team, it's quite cool. It's quite awesome. No complaints, and you know, just like in radio, you put in sometimes long hours, but it's all worth it at the end. And when you love what you do, man, it really works. So, so far so good, Connor. So far so good. Loving it. Missing you guys too. I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes after an order game, I do have FOMO. So, always listening to you guys. So I have you guys on in the office all day pretty much, and then post-game, and usually tune in for post-game to see the reaction, because it's been such a wild ride, so it's been great.
I can just see you just ranting to your girlfriend, and she's like, yeah, like, you're not on the radio, man, chill out. But
and the Twitter, like, it's, I don't think you Twitter as much, and Yeah, it's definitely been a transition, I'm not going to lie, man.
Well, Hernan, you had the first road trip, right? Was it? It was a day trip to Winnipeg, wasn't it? Just because there was some uncertainty about what was going to happen. What was that like? I mean, a lot of flying in not a lot of time.
Yeah, it was, you know what, it was cool. It was my first road trip with the team, kind of like charter. It was cool. It was cool. I mean, we only went to Winnipeg, only about an hour and 20 there, but it was cool, man. It was just to be with the team and kind of see how it works when you're on the road. Now, it was a little different because usually you fly in the day before, but with the whole VA stuff, we flew the same day. But it was awesome, man. And the Winnipeg Stadium is just outstanding, Connor. Like, it's beautiful. It's the fans are close to the action. It was fun. And just to kind of be on the sidelines and see the game that close and how fast and how talented these players are, it's a pretty cool experience. So always good kind of being behind the scenes of pro sports. It's cool, man. I was like a kid in a candy store, man. I was loving every minute of it. Long day for sure because we flew there and flew back the same day, but that's a one-off, right? But all in all, it was a great experience, and I can't wait to visit all the other great CFL cities in their stadiums.
Oh, man. I mean, it's going to be awesome. I'm so happy for you. Glad you're having a lot of fun with it. I hear Montreal's a fun town, so hopefully you'll get a go on that one.
I hear that too, Paul. I hear that too.
Hernan, this Friday, and part of the reason I wanted to have you on, the Edmonton Elks, I mean, it's crazy what can change in a matter of like 6 months. Like, I don't want to throw dirt on the previous regime, but since Victor Kui came and joined the organization as president, like, the guy gets it. He's turning this whole thing around. Chris Jones back as the head coach, and I mean, the one thing that I really like about what Kui and the Elks organization is doing, it's very community focused, and we have a huge Ukrainian population in Canada, big in Alberta, big in Edmonton, and Friday night, the organization doing Stand With Ukraine, I think, is it net proceeds from the tickets are going to go to help Ukrainians here settling in Edmonton. What can you tell us about the event?
Yeah, it's great, and that's what Victor does, right? Like, you know, it's sad to see what's going on there in the Ukraine, a lot of people coming over, you know, fleeing the Ukraine, coming here, so yeah, it's just a great... It's a great way to help out with our first preseason game. And as you know, Connor, preseason games, usually there's not a big crowd, but it's, you know, that's what we're aiming for. And the $50 tickets proceeds going, like you said, to help Ukrainian people resettle here in Edmonton. So it's absolutely a great cause and absolutely love it. Yeah, just to be clear, net proceeds going directly to helping Ukrainians resettle here in Alberta. $15 tickets. It should be fun. You're going to see some talented players as well, Connor. Calgary, Edmonton, it's never a dull moment. You're going to see a lot of guys that are probably unknown, but a lot of guys looking for jobs. And all in all, I just hope it's... I kind of know what's going to happen in the game. I can't really spoil it with you, Connor, but I think people should go check it out. Listen, I know the Oilers are off that day. I know the Edmonton Oil Kings kick off the WHL final that day, but This is such a great cause, and you know, people here love the CFL as well. So I don't want to be here saying pick and choose between hockey and football. Wherever the heart desires, you go and enjoy whatever sport you like. But I think we're going to have a nice crowd, very good crowd on Friday night. It's supposed to be a very nice day. And for me, there's nothing better than watching CFL football on a sunny, hot day here in Edmonton. So looking forward to it. Like I said, I can't really share too much because you know, we want the people there that show up to have a nice surprise and enjoy the game and enjoy the festivities as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I went and bought some tickets today. I can't make it, but I gave them to someone else. I wanted to support the cause. The tickets are selling fast. Like, I was looking lower level, sold out.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go higher up, and I like higher up. I was a season ticket holder for about 10 years, upper section Y. There's not a bad seat in Commonwealth, so I highly recommend it. It goes to a great cause, and of course, it's a lot of fun. The weather's going to be nice. The beer's going to be cold. The food's going to be good, and the football will be fun. So if you're looking for something to do on Friday night and, you know, you don't want to go in a cold arena, go sit outside. Hernan, we got to talk about the Oilers because this is an Oilers podcast, and we won't get too deep with you, but just how nice has it been to watch this team as a fan, and especially the success that they've had? Like, we haven't seen them win a series since 2017, and this year you get two, plus a Battle of Alberta. You had to be loving it.
Yeah, you know what? The transition from covering the team and talking about them on the radio to just watching the game and being able to kind of turn everything off after the game, whether they win or lose, and just kind of enjoy a beer and high five other people, it's been kind of cool. I mean, I went to the Moss Pit for game three of Calgary, and that was a good time. I wanted to experience it. I did. I'm good now, but it was a fun time. It's been, you know what, that LA series, I picked Edmonton obviously in six, and then when they were down 3-2, I was like, oh my God, here we go again. And, you know, those negative feelings come back, right? You're like, oh man, are they really going to blow it? But they played two excellent games, pulled it out. And I'll say this, I knew they could beat Calgary. I didn't know if they could beat him in five. Like, that kind of threw me off. But they played so well in that series. And I remember the first game just being upset because they gave up 9 goals. Even though the Oilers were right there, like, you're like, oh, man, is Calgary this much better? Like, it's like, what's going on? And then, boom, like, the next 4 games, the Oilers were just fantastic. And yeah, they got a bit of a break in game five, but those things happen. I mean, even though you saw the break yesterday, whether it's right or wrong, it is what it is right now. The Oilers didn't lose that game yesterday because of that call, but yeah, it's been fun, Connor. I'm not going to lie to you, like being able to watch it with family and friends. And I'll be honest, most of the games I've watched by myself because I'm a little cray-cray, right? So I'm like, I like yelling and doing my own thing. So I think I've only watched 4 games so far in the playoffs with other people. And outside of the girlfriend, right? Like, but it's been fun. I'm happy for this group. This group needed this. You know, after the last few seasons of disappointment against Winnipeg and the Chicago Blackhawks, I was happy with them being in the second round, Connor. I'll be honest. I was like, if they lost Calgary, I would have been like, you know what, that's tough, it sucks, but at least they advanced out of that first round. Now they're in the conference finals, and for me, this is a huge win for them. Like, I don't know what's going to happen here going forward with the Colorado series. First game was outstanding. It was fun to watch. I'm sure the coaches didn't like it, but, I mean, Hockey, and I love this, man. Like, you see the city, man. That's the biggest thing for me, Connor. I live downtown, and it's absolutely wild when they win. Like, it's so nice to see again, and there's not a lot of bad stuff going on, you know. Like, I know back in 06 and whatnot, there's a lot of people use that Oilers excuse to do bad things, but this time it just seems everybody's just having a good time and loving it. And this is a long-suffering fan base, so I'm equally happy for them because they deserve this. And seeing Connor McDavid celebrate that goal in Game 5 in overtime, like, that just made my heart happy because these guys deserve it. They take a lot of heat here, and listen, I was one of them. I'm very hard on this team when they were doing bad, but when they're doing great, I'm always going to praise them. And I'm just happy. I'm happy for, like I said, guys like 97, Drysdale, Nuge, that have been here through some tough times and now are getting some rewards out of it.
It's funny, Hernan. Like, I said it from the start of the year, this team has to win a series, maybe two. Like, otherwise, it's a failure big picture. And they were so close.
They have to beat LA, Connor. Like, that was, like, there was, like, I was like, if they lose this series, like, and hey, kudos to LA. I thought they played well for having a lot of young guys and missing some key players. They played the Oilers, but that made them better, right? Like, that's growing every series. I don't expect anything different. Like, I think it'll bounce back against Colorado. Again, Connor, they were at their best in game one, but they were 1 goal away from tying it and had a couple good looks at 7-6.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they went through adversity. It's going to be a really good series. I think they can always fall back on that series against the Flames, you know, where they lost big game one in disappointing fashion. And, yeah, I mean, credit to LA. Put up a good battle. The Oilers were very close to a failure of a season. And now someone said it's gravy. Like, it's whatever they do, it's all good. If they find a way to win, That's huge, but you're right. For the players, for the fans, it's nice to see this postseason success. Now, does it transition at all? I mean, are people in the Elks room watching the Oilers? Do you guys talk about it out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the whole staff is like, you watching the game? Well, like, and I know for game five against Calgary, a group of us, I think there was five, six of us, we went out all together, had a bite to eat and had a few beverages just watching the game and just enjoying the night and some hockey, right? So, oh, yeah, the Elks are totally behind the Edmonton Oilers. Want to continue, want them to continue to have success. And, yeah, it's everybody in the office is cheering on for the Oilers. Outside, we got a few Calgary guys, so we had some bragging rights. It was all in good fun. But, yeah, I know definitely. Yeah, I mean, for me, growing up, Connor, like I've always said this, like, Oilers and back then, the Eskimos, were almost equal. Like, you know, like how now it's kind of the narrative change where this is an Oiler town. And to a certain extent, that's true. But I'll say this: when I was growing up, both teams were just as big, and were just as popular, and were just as successful. So that's what we're striving for now with the Edmonton Elks and the new leadership and the new coaching staff and a handful of new players is to get back to where this football team belongs. Because growing up, for me, Oilers, Eskimos were there's no one better, Connor. No one better.
Oh man, I mean, hey, I remember on the Elkcast and we had Warren Moon on. People got fired up. Yeah. Like the Edmonton faithful, they'll support the Elks. They will be out there when they 100%. Win the games. Yeah. And we know Chris Jones, he's going to get the guys going in the right direction. And I'm looking forward to it, Hernan. I can't wait to get down there for a game. And hopefully we'll see you down there at practice. I'm actually off to Alaska on a cruise next week. Something I never thought I would say. So I won't be able to come down next week. But the following week, I hope to get down there for some practices.
So what are you off? What are you gone for, 7 days, 10 days?
Yeah, we head out to Vancouver on Saturday. We'll spend the night in Vancouver. I'll watch the Oilers, of course. Probably do so with dinner and drinks. And then Sunday, we board the cruise. I think that's how you properly say it. And then, yeah, head up to Juneau. That's the only stop I know. I don't know much about Alaska, but we'll be back down and then heading back to Edmonton. Next Monday I'll be back in the city.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, Alaska, that's interesting, man. That's gonna be fun though. I mean cruise is always on the bucket list, man. It's gonna be pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So good on you, man.
When I get back, I'll let you know what the cruise life is like. Maybe I'll be a cruiser.
Make sure you post pictures, though, right?
Oh yeah, of course. I'll load up the Instagram with just photo dumps from what I do in Alaska.
You got to post pictures of Alaska because I'm so intrigued by that trip. Yeah, and it's a family one, right?
A family one. Yeah, yeah. Go there with the sisters, the parents, the girlfriend, and then two nephews and one niece, all under the age of 4. So that'll be interesting how the kids do, but it'll be something.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll love it, man. They'll love it.
Well, Hernan, thanks for doing this today. Keep up the good work with the Elks, and go Oilers, right?
Yeah, man. Go Oilers, go Elks. It's you know what's awesome, Connor? Is that we get, like, there's so many sports going on in, like, June for here in Edmonton. Like, when's the last time we could say that? Like, Oil Kings in the final. Yeah. Oilers Western Conference Finals. Elks about to kick off their season. Stingers kicked off their season last week. The Riverhawks, is that what they're called?
Riverhawks are out in Kelowna this week, I think, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just crazy. It's awesome. And hopefully people get out and support all these teams, man. It's just outstanding. I got to get out to a Stingers game.
Oh, Stingers are a lot of fun, and I was looking into it. The Riverhawks home opener next Tuesday against the Portland Pickles. So, if you're downtown, you have no excuse. You got to make the walk down to the park and catch a couple games.
You said Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, yeah. Well, I guess the Oilers play.
It's
Monday, yeah.
I might have to indulge in and head down there and just maybe have a nice hot dog and a beer and watch some good old baseball. I just got to find someone to go with. Maybe I'll call up Handsome Tom Gazzola.
There you go. The plans.
Well, he might be busy, though. He might be doing post game.
I don't think so, because it'd be Saturday, then Monday. So,
that's right.
The wheels are in motion. The wheels are in motion, Hernan.
The wheels are in motion. Carr, what's your prediction for the series? Did you make one?
You know what? Nobody ever asked me my thoughts on the prediction. You know what? I don't know. I mean, this is an Oilers-based podcast, so I'm going to go with the Oilers in six. How about that? How about you?
Yeah, I didn't make a prediction. I was telling people at work. I was telling them I hope both teams just have fun. But I love to see the Oilers go to a final, man. Like I think it's there for them because I think Tampa Bay is good. Like I didn't see them sweeping Florida, but they got to be getting tired on it. Those guys have played a ton of hockey. They don't have Braden Point. They're still elite. I don't know, man. I still think the Rangers are what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm not a believer in them. I think they're a year too early. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. There's so many fans right now looking at the Rangers like, what the hell? Why was their rebuild so quick and so successful? Or their retool, whatever they called it.
But it wasn't really a rebuild when you get the first overall pick and you had guys like Panarin and like I didn't buy that. That's not a true rebuild.
It wasn't an Oilers rebuild.
No, you have a number one goaltender, you have quality defensemen, you have superstars up front. No, come on, that's not a rebuild. A rebuild when you're in last place for many, 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 many years and you don't have any stars and, you know, like you're always selecting first overall. Like that's a rebuild. What the Oilers did a couple of times in the last 15 years is a rebuild. But hey, I still give them credit. I mean, they took out my Stanley Cup pick, the Carolina Hurricanes. So I'll give them all the credit in the world. But again, I just think they're a year ahead and I just don't think it's their year. So I think the Cup's coming to the West, whether Colorado or Edmonton, which is crazy to say right now.
Oh, that would be absolutely fantastic. As we tape this, Rangers and Lightning tied at one apiece after 20 minutes. So we'll see what happens. Hernan, continued success with the Elks. Go Elks, go Oilers, go Riverhawks, go Stingers, go Oil Kings, and go everyone. Go Edmonton.
Oil Kings, yes, Connor. That's how we both kind of got our starts, right? Doing some Oil Kings broadcast.
Oh, yeah. We go deep with the Edmonton Oil Kings. Nanzo, thanks a lot for doing this. I appreciate it. And we'll try to get you on down the road if your schedule allows it.
For sure, my friend. Always a pleasure talking to you. It's been a while, but always happy to join you, my friend.
There you go. That is Hernan Salas, formerly of TSN 1260, currently with the Elks. And if you want to go check out the game on Friday night, head over to GoElks.com. I think you can link it up to Ticketmaster. That's how I got my tickets. And like I said, I'm unable to go, but I pass those tickets along. The money goes to a great cause. And CFL football in the summertime. I think it's supposed to be 20 degrees on Friday night. Get some drinks, get some food, cheer on the team. Always a good time sitting outside watching some live sports. And that's going to do it for us here on the Other Corner Podcast. For this edition, I think we'll have another one before I head off on vacation. Of course, the Edmonton Oilers in action on Thursday night. Game number 2, Oilers, Avalanche, Western Conference Final. Puck drop will be at 6 o'clock. If you want some pregame coverage, tune into TSN 1260 beginning at 5 o'clock. Tom Gazzola, Jason Greger, Jason Strudwick, Matt Cassian, I'll be there too. And realistically, though, if you want Oilers coverage, just tune into TSN 1260 throughout the day. There will be a lot of coverage going on with Nielsen, JMO, Lowtide, Awanek. Jeff Walker will be around, Lieutenant Eric, of course. Tom Gazzola. Lots of stuff going on TSN 1260 pregame show, pregame coverage with the Edmonton Oilers. After that, the Edmonton Oilers, of course, will have game number 3 on Saturday night. That's in Edmonton, another 6 o'clock start. And then a game on Monday, and then we'll go from there. We'll see what happens, but as we've discussed, the Oilers obviously have a few things that they need to clean up before game 2. Got to thank everyone who opted on today. Zach Lang of Oilers Nation, Hernan Salas, now with the Elks. All of you for tuning in, I do appreciate it. Thank our sponsors, of course, the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. If you're going to sign up today, make sure to use promo code THPN. It'll help you out in a lot of ways. Thank you guys again for tuning in. I'm Connor Halley. Give me a follow on Twitter at Connor Halley. We'll talk to you next time here on the Other Connor Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Other Connor podcast. New shows drop every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts from.